Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 58, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social meds. It's Tuesday, November 20th. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I don't practice Jack O'Brien. I don't got no crystal ball. I fed them all. That is courtesy of Not Your Real Dads, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I can show you hot takes, shining, shimmering Ted Cruz. Tell me, Miles, now, when did you last let your... Let your heart decide. A Zeitgang world, a dazzling gray I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a second-rate cast with... Now I'm in a second-rate cast!
That is from Hannah Soltis, at Soltis Hannah.
Oh, it's over already?
Yeah, you know, God, I could have got... My favorite part of that is when, don't you dare close your eyes. But
yeah,
that
yeah.
is not in that. But yeah, Hannah Soltis, at Soltis Hannah, shout out to you.
You got the dramatic sing-speaking going, like
yeah.
you were part of the Broadway adaptation
yeah.
of Aladdin.
Big Alan Menken fan. Yeah. Big Alan Menken fan. You know, he's the GOAT.
I thought maybe, by the way, for people who don't realize, Ted Cruz insisted, the reason Miles was dropping Ted Cruz in there, he's not really part of the lyrics, in case you weren't aware. It's
Thanks.
Because he, Ted Cruz insisted that that song be played
at
on
wedding,
CD
yeah.
at his wedding. Like, they had a band, and he was like, no, they can't do a Latin.
No, they don't know how to do
like,
Latin.
That's a
Just
quote.
Play the CD.
Anyways, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Nick Turner.
You know my name's Nick Turner, cause he is cool and he is me.
Wow.
He is gonna park with you today.
Woo.
Let's get started.
Oh, God.
All right. Damn.
Woo!
Yes.
That was pretty good.
Finally.
That was selling.
Nick Turner.
yeah.
Bring
Coming
the energy.
To the stage.
Oh, well, Nick, welcome. You've sat there for a long time, not being able to say anything for reasons we won't talk about. But
because his mom called and berated him on his Christmas gift choices of years
dressed
past.
Dressed me down. All right, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, and I swear we will let you talk. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about. We're talking about the best mom on Instagram, just shouting out to her child. On that child's birthday, we're going to talk about Mickey D's testing out cheesy bacon fries. We're going to talk about SNL's super lit joke about how people are whiny bitches for complaining about Amazon coming to New York City with their HQ2. We are going to talk about how the White House has decided no comedians for this year's
White House Correspondents
Correspondents Association dinner.
Yeah.
No comedians. They're going to have a historian instead, as if historians are more happy
less
with what Trump has done to the country.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And we're going to shout out Cards Against Humanity. We're going to talk about Gary Hart. We're going to talk about Havana, all of that and more. But first, Nick, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, yes. I just looked. And what I was most interested in this weekend was stuffing recipes.
Mm-hmm. Stuffing and recipes.
Most of the Google searches were for what bread is best to use in stuffing.
Oh, okay.
And I had to Google it so many times because people don't have opinions. Every recipe just says bread.
Right, right.
It's and I'm like, I know that there's plenty of types of bread.
Right.
And I know that some bread's better than others.
Yeah.
Right.
Stop screwing with me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you got to scroll and you got to search and...
The Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, right?
I wish. I wish. Bagels is a popular one.
Is
I did
it?
Not see many donuts.
Oh, damn.
I think that might be too sweet. But white bread.
Mm-hmm.
How boring. It almost makes me not want to make it.
I know. Right. That's the answer? Is white bread?
White bread.
Just like Wonder Bread?
Weber's?
Just, yeah, well.
Roman meal?
Well, one,
do they make
one
white
said
bread
Martin's potato bread, and I was like,
oh,
maybe
yeah.
I'll try to get that. That sounds a little
that's
more
good.
Interesting.
Some challah.
Yeah, challah was high.
Challah was high?
As high as white.
Wow.
On the first
was
list, yeah.
High.
Okay. Hello.
I see. Interesting. Wait, so you're going to hand make it. You're not doing the janky box Marie Callender stove type
I like
shit.
To cook.
I like this. Yeah,
and
okay.
I got invited to a Thanksgiving dinner from someone who is a great cook and who I've had a dinner party over at her house before and was the best.
Oh, so you got to come with it.
Got to come with it.
Potluck, you better come
so
with it.
So we lost, you know, two greats, Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
Jonathan Gold.
Right.
And so I looked up Anthony Bourdain's recipe, and then Jonathan Gold had a lot of suggestions as well, incorporating them both. But neither one of them had a bread suggest.
That's weird.
Oh, weird.
I know.
You know what? I'm sure the Zeitgang has an idea. These people who listen to the show,
yeah.
I mean, there's some culinary experts out there.
Okay.
I wonder if does it help that it's crustier? Is it about the flesh of, you know, it's inside?
Because I do like some crust to it. Like sometimes when you get that real chewy piece of stuffing, because it's
I just like to be
crust.
Mush, really, for
really?
Me. I'm disturbed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, you know, it's like once it's all hard, you know, because you just got to stale it.
Yeah.
Then I think it just nothing really matters anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing
it's just
really
like
matters.
Crap bread.
Nothing really matters
to me.
What is something you think is overrated?
Bohemian Rhapsody. No. no, it couldn't be less. I'm a big fan
me
of
too.
Theatrics, and I love what the guys are doing over there.
And doing the most.
Doing the most.
Yeah, shout out to Freddie Mercury for doing the most.
That should just be the definition of doing the most.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
No, for overrated, recently I've been thinking a lot about happy birthdays. Just saying happy birthday. Wishing someone a happy birthday. Especially on social media, but even in real life,
mm-hmm.
What could matter less?
Right.
And also, what are the odds that that person's like jazzed that they're, you know, older?
Yeah.
You know, like it.
The way we celebrate this youth culture.
Right.
You know, we've rotted people's minds, and then we go around being like, hey, congrats on getting older.
Right.
You jerk. Yeah. I know that's, you know, you're taking a dig.
Right. They're like more elaborate God bless yous in some ways. The happy birthday, it's just like a formality, like, oh, God bless you. Like, happy birthday. It's your birthday? Happy birthday, man.
That's yeah. Oh, I like birthday. On sometimes if it's someone you haven't heard from in a while, you know, especially because, like, sometimes friendships can, like, wane a little bit and then you haven't heard.
True.
And then someone's like, hey, man, happy birthday. You're like, that's right. Okay. We love
yeah.
each other still.
Well, yeah, sure. Bless okay. You. Yeah. If you get, like, a phone call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From, like, a friend you've been wanting to talk to.
Oh, but you're just talking about the casual, like, hey, HBD, man. Gotta go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, on Facebook, you know, I mean, I'm obviously a bit of a celebrity, so I get
I wished you happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I know you didn't like that shit, but whatever.
I certainly didn't. I'm such a hater, but I I announced on Facebook that I certainly did not read everyone.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, you got it. But especially like coming back the next day and be like, thanks for all the happy birthdays, y'all.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, if you didn't get it in, now's the time.
Right. In the comments, hop in.
Comment. My birthday's right. extended.
I'm going to put this back up into your timeline so that you're...
See, that's the one part I fucked up by leaving Facebook, really. Like, I know that a lot of people... That's where I would get the most interactions with people is on my birthday on Facebook. And this was like the first year I didn't even just bother to go back to do like, shout out to everyone who said happy birthday. Because I can't have... Fuckerberg just stealing my information.
Yeah. He can't know that you're grateful for those.
He can't
happy
know
birthdays.
My birthday that I entered voluntarily right. to his website.
Like, I feel like Facebook, first and foremost, is a birthday reminder machine.
That's all it's good for at this point.
Hey, this person's having a birthday
that
you forgot existed since high school. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Counting votes in elections.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
I still am flabbergasted. That they're not counting them. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it in Florida. They're not going to do it anywhere. There's military ballots. There's plenty of write-in ballots or mail-in ballots that they've stated they can't count and that they never will.
Mm-hmm.
I say next election, we don't find out any results for a month. We give everyone time to count it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get anything trickling in.
No returns on election.
Nothing.
Night.
Interesting.
And then you just got bozos being like that signature doesn't match. I'm not going to count that. And it's just some guy,
right?
Just some volunteer. That is insane.
Yeah. And plus, that would create jobs because there would, if you gave a month to count, there would be entire like legal industries of people just being like, well, you can't count that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do want to give more jobs to lawyers.
Yeah, we need more of those, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking around with our
just keep them fucking busy with other shit.
Well, there are like, what, like over 100 lawyers on the ground in Florida for the
and even more in the air. Just hovering. There was not. Yeah, they couldn't
fit. Just ready to land, but not quite wanting to commit to it.
I mean, yeah, votes are a tricky thing because if you count them and then the result is not the one you want, then they suck.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah.
So you don't know. I don't know.
But they did stop short, and like that's what happened to the 2000 election that I hadn't really remembered is that. Like, the Republicans were arguing to stop the recount,
mm-hmm.
so just, like, stop counting mm-hmm. these votes that mm-hmm. they, like, that the machine couldn't make sense of. It's like,
that's
so
like,
you didn't want to count votes.
That's like a horse race gambling addict's dream, is, like, if they're, like, the order of the race is as they want it, maybe with, like, a, like, in the home stretch, and, like,
that was
end the race
line.
Right there. I don't care who's coming up the back. Nope, I don't need that, because that'll fuck up my exacta that I got going right now.
Right. Yeah.
They flipped like a half a dozen races this week.
Yeah.
You know, from the projected winner.
Yeah.
I just feel like in history, you know, it's like half the people who got elected it was probably wrong.
Yeah, could you imagine?
I can't imagine. George Washington, no way.
No way, that asshole.
No way.
Congrats on the revolution, dude.
It was definitely his opponent,
Michael Dukakis. Yes. I think it was. You know, back in George Washington's day and some of the first presidential elections, they used to have like voting parties where like they would have open bars at the ballot box.
Oh, great.
And that's how you would get people to come. And like you would only vote at like the Democratic place or the Republican
place.
Right. And whoever had the more like lit party was the place where you would go to vote. And that's how they got people to vote.
But then, like, the Tammany Hall days, you would just have people, like, beating the shit out of you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, get your ass up and vote for Boss Tammany.
Yeah, yeah,
Boss Tweed, motherfucker.
Yep.
Welcome to Tammany Hall.
At least those votes were counted.
Yeah, right. Which seems to be the whole point.
At least the 18 guys that were allowed to vote were able to cast their ballots.
And the other ones, they got a free drink, as promised.
Right.
Voting, so.
Yeah, I got some... alert that was like the unknown Republican rock star lawyer who headed up like the recount in Florida. And I was just, like, I started reading and I was like, I just don't hate myself this much to read about a Republican lawyer who won the election for them. But it's some young woman who won it for the Republicans. Congratulations to you.
Well, if only they could have had her in every state.
Right.
They got a wallop in.
There's only one of them.
Gubernatorial races.
And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Okay, here we go. This kind of has something to do with my stuffing plan.
Okay.
But this is what a lot of people don't know, and I only found out recently, and it was very exciting to me and has made my life tastier.
Okay.
Pork can be pink.
Ooh.
You do not have to cook pork till it is white.
I thought you were talking about something about pork in a can. Okay. Pork, yes, pork can be pink in the middle and edible, safe to eat.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Previously, they said you had to cook pork to 160 degrees, which means that it would turn white.
Right.
But recently, 7 years ago, but I just found out today.
Sounds like you read a lot of white supremacist cooking stuff.
I do.
White bread. Cook pork until it's white.
It's white.
No, right. Well, this is going to ruin them.
Not too much.
Their favorite white meat.
Don't eat it if it's all pinko communist.
Chicken's for everyone, but pork's just for the boys.
Yeah.
That's what the KKK for the boys. Slogan is. But no, it can be pink and tastier, and it's changed the way I've been living my life. Honestly, I may be eating the pork too pink because I don't have a thermometer.
Yeah,
but I just
you
get
look
excited.
A little green.
I say it's pink, must be ready, and then I rip my fingers into it.
Yeah.
Just out of the oven.
No, people always tell me cold. That about chicken that it has to be white, and I'm just like, fuck that, man.
Okay, well, that didn't
a little pink,
nah,
little pink in the
chicken,
inside,
sashimi,
medium
baby.
Rare.
Yeah. Wait, you talking about even cooking it? All right, 1920.
Oh,
you ever just eat some raw chicken, though?
Have you seen that
the
chicken tartare?
Yeah, they have it in Japan.
Pictures of it? I still don't think it's real.
There's chicken sashimi you can eat.
I mean, I don't. Okay. I mean, I guess
I was in the hospital for 3 weeks, but I ate it.
Do they really have that?
Yeah, there's chicken sashimi.
That's wild.
For certain kind of chicken you can't eat.
What kind of chicken? A chicken that was recently burned in a fire?
No, it's like some kind. I don't know.
A chicken
what, I
of
think
the
it's
sea?
So fresh that it. Let me actually look because I don't want to.
He's just eating tuna, thinking I knew it.
No. It's a. There's a few people that do it. I don't know. It's just they'll sear it a little bit on the outside.
Chicken tartare.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was joking, but apparently. Real cooks know what the deal is.
I mean, I don't think it's for everybody. I can't get over looking at raw chicken and thinking, that's raw chicken.
Yeah.
Not like fish, you know. I can get done with that.
All right. Let's get into what's going on today. And a story that just jumped to the top of my page on social media is this Instagram mom who...
Wait, what's an Instagram mom?
I guess she's a mommy blogger.
Okay, got
who
you.
Who has an Instagram presence that is like part of her brand.
Okay.
And I just want to read this post that she put up because it's her son's birthday and she wanted to wish him a happy birthday. The first page is just a normal, thankful for Weston today. My Weston was just the best baby, cuddly, blah, blah, blah. You know, the normal birthday wishes, what a great hugger he is. Then she says, next paragraph, guys, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Instagram never liked my munchkin, and it killed me inside. His photos never got as many likes, never got comments. From a statistical point of view, he wasn't as popular with everyone out there. Maybe part of that was the pictures just never hit the algorithm right. Part might be because he was the, quote, baby for a very short amount of time. LJ came along, and then I guess he's the oldest. And people like babies. I say all that because I want to believe that it wasn't him. That it was on me. My insufficiency caused this statistical deficit because obviously my munchkin should get all the love and squinty eyes are totally adorable. She just said that he has squinty eyes in like a backhand way. So can we do this right? Because I truly know that my munch deserves all the likes, whether or not a stranger gives it to them. And on his 6th birthday, I am thankful that I know that no matter what other people think of me or my kids or my marriage or my house, blah, 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 that they are 1,000 times better in real life than any tiny little picture could hold. So she kind of steered it a little bit.
Well, I've never met someone so secure in herself in their
life. I know.
Holy shit.
Oh.
Wait, what about this postscript?
P.S. I wanted to clarify that I revealed this feeling because I know that one day he will see the numbers and have to learn that his value is not in online approval. This is a hard lesson for anyone to learn. And I'm thankful I have learned it. No, you have not.
Yo, leave this alone.
Yo,
oh my God.
I hope you all can be understanding and not take things out of context or believe that this is in any way affects how I see or treat my children. All comments and well wishes I read to the birthday boy. All comments. So that's a threat. Like, don't write negative comments because and well wishes I read to the birthday
boy. The whole thing is, don't make me shatter this boy's confidence.
It's time to read the comments.
This part.
This guy looks like an Irish trucker.
Your face is not symmetrical.
This part about like how she's like, and part of me really wants to believe that it wasn't him. Is like,
yeah, what?
That makes it seem like. But that we all know the truth. is him. He's a defective child.
Exactly, and she's clearly operating in a world where there's a correlation between likes and the kid's worth,
yes.
Which is why it's eating her up. If she didn't give a fuck, there would be no post. But the fact that you're pointing this out means she probably talked with the father, and she's like, I don't know. Like, Weston just...
He doesn't score very well.
Is it his hairstyle? Should we dress him in more like Supreme style?
He's not getting nearly as many likes as the Doubletree and the Marriott, our other two kids.
And she clearly has decided that his problem is his squinty eyes because she said, my insufficiency caused this statistical deficit because obviously my munch should get all the love and squinty eyes are totally adorable.
Oh, wow. Poor
kid.
Like
talking about her like... fanciful thinking on this that like, oh, you know, I want to believe that people will excuse his squinty little stupid eyes.
Can you read the comments from Child Protective Services?
She really?
They're like, delete this.
See
now.
You on Tuesday.
Yo.
It's going to be worse for her son to read this than anything retrospectively than like to like what in her mind where she thinks he's so obsessed with his likes on her Instagram page. I'm like, Mom, what happened?
Also, he's six. He could read this now.
And the problem is now this post will probably, I don't know, it's getting somewhat viral.
Yeah.
But like if it comes back to school, they're like, hey, dude, what's up with your mom? Whatever.
Hey, what's up, bro? Come on into the 6-year-old locker room. Let's talk about this. Yo, what's up, squinty eyes?
Hey, Squints, get over here. Yeah, that's your name now. And then we also just wanted to put on everybody's radar something that's actually bubbling a little bit below the zeitgeist right now. But McDonald's is testing cheesy bacon fries.
Well, I don't know. They say they're not. Okay. Full story is if you live in Hawaii or Modesto or Stockton, California, the Golden Triangle, as we call it. Right now, the McDonald's there serve like loaded cheesy bacon fries. Now, if you look at these shits, they don't look that good. They look like just paint and bacon bits from a salad bar on top of McDonald's fries.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's not a picture from McDonald's. If it was McDonald's, it would. That's how their food looks.
The one that McDonald's... Here, I'll show you the
if
McDonald's one.
If you just take
one.
A regular picture with your iPhone of McDonald's food, that's how it's going
to The McDonald's look. One is so nice. It's on, like, artisanal... It's, like, on, like, butcher paper with, like, a nice pile, and the bacon looks real. Now, okay, so they're saying that this is not a test, but there was, like, some dude who is, like, has his finger on the pulse of McDonald's. Is like, well, Modesto and Stockton have been used as test markets for, like, larger national rollouts before, so I don't buy it one bit. Will we see cheesy fries in 2019? Maybe. But McDonald's, you know, they have like a they do regional things like this. Like in New England, like people get the lobster roll sometimes, and McRib isn't always across the country. They had Gilroy garlic fries a couple years ago in Northern California. So yes, it could just be a regional thing. But if you want to put on your X-Files hat and you could say, well, Modesto and Stockton have been used in the past for testing, then maybe it is coming. But I don't know. They look like shitty animal fries to me. I'm not really. I don't know. I'll eat it, though. I'm going to try it.
I'll eat it every day.
I'll eat it every day. For sure. I'm eating it right now.
The bacon just looks like it's just straight up salad bar bacon.
Yeah, bacon bits. Bacon. Yeah.
As opposed to the Applewood smoked ham hocks that they throw on their dollar meal.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is like you can't travel with like loaded fries. Like even animal fries. Like I got to eat those shits as quickly as possible from In-N-Out. You know what I mean? Because the cheese starts to harden up, and then it's not a, you know, I don't know. Maybe they figured a way.
You have to eat them in handfuls.
Yeah,
and I exactly. like to wear latex gloves when I eat
You
them.
Do wear those, yes.
Yeah, but they don't use preservatives. That's just they just put a potato in there, in In-N-Out.
Right, right, right.
They just chomp that. So, but right. McDonald's, you know, it, everything's got preservatives. You could eat a year later.
Oh, you could eat it a year later. The
although their still fries be just do as get hot. Worse. Their fries
somehow,
do get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on how successful the product launch is, right? Like, it, whether it goes national. Like, they're like, no, it was just regional, but that's probably because it didn't test that well, and people didn't
Maybe,
like it as
could
much.
Be. Yeah. But I think, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think McDonald's lets regions freelance very much, right? They're not give it a shot.
No, guys. No, I think they're like, hey, like you know, we ordain this thing that you can sell here.
Right.
Do they have that cheese sauce in anything else?
I don't think there's cheese sauce on anything else. Yeah. It's usually just slices of American cheese. So. Yeah.
The second I feel like you could make it yourself, but maybe not.
Right. The second they approve this, they will become the biggest buyer of cheese sauce in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure Big Cheese is pushing hard for this, lobbying hard for this.
Well, and, probably not Big Cheese because there's no cheese in those cheese sauces.
Right, that's true.
Oh, right. Big oil and water.
and pigs are just fucking terrified right
Yeah, they're like, oh, God.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and we're going to actually get an old friend of mine on the phone. We're going to call him up right now. Jose.
Nice.
Hey, Jack.
What's up, man?
How are we doing?
You got Jack.
Oh, that's great. Good and, stuff.
And Miles.
What's going on?
Hey, Miles. How you doing?
Good, man. Are you like 9 feet tall?
Yes. He's a giant.
Holy shit.
See his fucking hands.
I looked at Nick the second I heard your voice. I was like, what the fuck is fucking Paul Bunyan on
Hello.
The phone?
Hey, Jack. Let's not fuck around and get to business here.
All right.
Great exactly. voice.
And we also have
Thank
Nick,
you,
who is a stand-up comedian.
Hey, Nick, oh, am I on? Hi.
Hey, Nick.
Sorry, everyone.
All right. Jose Ortiz Jr., a.k.a. Jim, a.k.a. The Juice, a.k.a. Wait, did you say your name is OJ? Which is what some girl
hilarious.
Said to him at the Kentucky Derby. He is also the executive director of the New York City Employment and Training Coalition and was my roommate for, you know, five of my worst years. Not like bad in
it's
terms of
true.
Not enjoying them, but just not in my best shape. You had to do a lot of work, but... Jose, we have you in here to talk to us about the news, specifically Amazon coming to Long Island City. You've been rejoicing, I know, for weeks. but yeah, you've been talking to, you were in the Wall Street Journal and a couple other places talking about like kind of the different ways that this can go for New York City and
sure.
the fact that this isn't just a straightforward great thing. And then SNL over the weekend made a joke basically saying anybody who complains about Long Island City getting the HQ2 is a whiny bitch. So mm-hmm. Colin Jost called you a whiny bitch. Do you care to respond?
I can validate that I am. no, I think generally speaking, the noise about Amazon is coming from actually a real place. And these are people who live in a community that overall has been pretty marginalized for forever, and you know, in recent years it's come into a place where they're now, you know, because of space and being a waterfront property here in New York City, there's a kind of renewed interest in using it as a way to attract, you know, bigger businesses, which is all exciting, and it's not necessarily a bad thing for the city. But I think, you know, from my state and the role that I play here in the city as really being an advocate on behalf of, you know, anyone who is out of the mainstream, you know, the average New Yorker, people of color, immigrants, women, those without college degrees that are lack access to jobs and job training. For those individuals that live in the community, this is can be a little bit scary. And so, you know, I think here at the coalition, we're not necessarily anti-Amazon moving into the space, but we are definitely pro making sure that individuals that reside in the community have opportunities to receive proper job training and also be included in the pool of people that might be considered for jobs at a company like Amazon. And when you hear things like $150,000 average annual income, that doesn't speak to the average person here in the city and makes us concerned.
Right. So, I mean, does Amazon have a track record of, you know, employing people of different socioeconomic backgrounds, or what have you guys done any research into sort of what their track record's like in Seattle and other places?
I mean, their track record, unfortunately, in Seattle and other places has not, it's not anything to, you know, get excited about. I think it, you know, which is part of the reason why, you know, our focus is, you know, being hyper-focused on really on ensuring that as they start to really build out this plan further, because, you know, remember, this is just, they've just chosen a location. Now it's really up to us and the average New Yorker and the city to really ensure that they you know, really follow through what they've promised. And I think their coming to the city is really in an effort to say, hey, we want to come to, you know, the most diverse place in the world. Queens is literally the most diverse county in America and the most diverse place in the world. So, you know, how do we ensure that Amazon becomes a reflection of the community here in New York City and in Queens? And so, no, they haven't had that track record. We're not saying that they're not, you know, I believe that if we get our people together and we mobilize effectively, we can get them to that place. But it's not going to come without intense pressure and really, you know, strong collaboration.
Yeah, we want to get more Queens in Amazon and not just have Amazon steamroll Queens into an Amazon-like office complex or whatever.
That's right. And, you know, and the truth, you know, the other, you know, this is not, Amazon is just a larger reflection of the larger tech, you know, ecosystem. You know, most of these businesses and companies are just not particularly diverse. There's been an increased interest in diversity and equity and inclusion initiatives over the years. And that's in part because they've been so terrible at it. But I, you know, we see that we really do want the city to become an ecosystem that, you know, rivals, you know, the West Coast and San Francisco in terms of the tech ecosystem there, but it does it in a way that is thoughtful and includes the people that live and reside in the city. And we've seen, you know, how badly and poorly this can go in terms of not including when you add new businesses and invite new businesses and economic development is not aligned to communities that exist in the area. We've seen how badly that can go for a community.
Like San Francisco, you mean?
Like, that's exactly right. You know, right. Where you're now, you know, creating taxes to, you know, either incentivize hiring or to ensure that, you know, certain populations are protected. And you know, we could be very well be that 10 years, 15 years from now. And we need to be very proactive when we think about how to develop a community.
OJ, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What is sort of like ideally, right, knowing that I think most people who are sort of pay attention to the rise of Amazon have seen that, yeah, they're not quite ideal work situations or integrating into cities that they operate in. Like, what are sort of things, like if you had Bezos's ear, what are the kinds of things that, you know, are most urgent in terms of how you view Amazon coming to Long Island City that Amazon should be doing? I mean, obviously these are like in an ideal world, what are the kinds of things that Amazon could be doing to be more responsible as, you know, a new neighbor in the city?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things is really to focus on hiring people from, not just specifically from the community, but working with organizations that provide job training for specific types of jobs at the company. So, you know, even the biggest tech companies in the world are not entirely tech focused, right? Their staff, their employees are a wide variety of different skill sets that align in different spaces. So, in part of the coalition, my organization, what we have is 150 members, which are organizations throughout the city and throughout Queens that provide very specific skill training to get people into jobs. So, you know, Amazon is a retail company. It's not just a tech company. It's a retail company. It's a food and beverage distribution. It's lots of different things. So how do we get people that have experience in those individual spaces employed into those jobs at Amazon? And how do we get you to work with these specific organizations that are going to train people to be the best possible talent in each one of those areas? So I would ask him to just keep an open mind, to assume that, you know, the pipeline for individuals coming into your workforce is not just coming from, you know, the most elite universities in the world or the most elite universities even in New York City, but that people and talent exist everywhere. Right. So that would be the starting point.
Yeah, I agree that Amazon is a big enough company. It's almost its own nation. Like, it probably has all sorts of different jobs, but I feel like Bezos is primarily in the making grown men cry business, mm-hmm. in the sense that, like, everybody who works for Amazon says it's just like, right. this hellscape where, like, everybody's just like terrified for their job. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like the way they dominate is by making everybody work incredibly difficult hours to just, you know, shave every margin until you can get your package of Tide Pods
or men's butt wipes.
I mean, and this is it's a legit fear. I mean, in terms of, like, for instance, you know, I was at a Queens Chamber of Commerce event on Friday, and they have, you know, all the majority of businesses in Queens are, and majority meaning 81% of those businesses are small businesses. So they are also, you know, pretty afraid. It's not just individuals, but they're also businesses that are, you know, genuinely concerned about a large entity like Amazon that has, you know, to some degree, not been the best player or friend of the small business sector on moving into space. Plus, you know, you have an organization that is now going to be looking for somewhere between 25 and 40,000 new employees in one physical location. So, you know, it's going to suck up talent, you know, all throughout the city. So we really have to be very hyper-focused, very intentional on how to we get more people into the workforce and not just import talent into the city.
All right, man. Well, I know you have to go meet with the mayor or deputy mayor or whatever. And I told you what to
this
tell
is,
him
this is
on
true,
my
but
behalf.
Now you just make me sound like a jerk.
Yeah, no, you're big time, man. That's cool. I thought you'd maybe remember that we used to be friends. But...
Well, hey, he was gracious enough to bless us with his presence on this second-rate podcast. So,
all right, Jose.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
all right,
you having
good
me
talking
on.
To you, man. All right, that was Jose Ortiz Jr. Great
Someone really
guy.
Thought he was OJ? They heard his name Jose as OJ?
OJ, yeah, exactly. It was
Ortiz Jr. is OJ.
It was at the Kentucky right. Derby, so sound, there was a lot of noise. Everybody was very drunk, mm-hmm. and also I think she had never met a person of color before.
Okay, yeah. And so her only frame of reference was OJ.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So
he is free. Yeah. He could be somewhere.
So let's just talk real quick about HQ2 in Long Island City. Long Island City is, I've lived there. Nick, you're saying you've lived there before. I only lived there for a year, but in the year that I lived there, the city, like I saw huge changes, like buildings went up in the year that I lived there. It was like crazy how much it was just turning into a condominium-opolis from what used to be like a lot of warehouses and shit, dog parks.
Yeah. I lived there for 5 years up until last year.
Oh, wow.
And I also had a couple of friends that moved there, like when people started to move there, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When the first high rise went up.
Right.
That first Avalon, they were like giving out 3 months free rent for people to go in there because there was no one there. I can say this. Long Island City was never a neighborhood.
Right.
You know, it was just warehouses and like they left and it just happened to be so close to the city. It's one local stop to Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
And one local stop to Brooklyn. It's in the middle of everything. And I'm so happy Amazon is moving there because when I say that I lived in Long Island City, people think I lived in Long Island.
Yeah.
And then I have to explain, no, it's a great place to live. But now I don't have to do all that bullshit. I can say Amazon. I lived in the penthouse at Amazon HQ.
There
and
you go.
Like, wow, cool. Yeah.
I know was where watching Bezos' stuff. Yeah.
So let me read the exact text of the Colin Jost joke. So he started out calling people who are complaining about getting the HQ whiny bitches because jobs. And then he said, it's like complaining about winning the lottery. All the cities who lost out must be like, shut up, you whiny bitch. New York basically won the lottery and we're like, but the subways might be slightly more crowded. Meanwhile, people in West Virginia are like, well, back to the mines. Yeah, I know it's going to raise housing prices, but it's a little late for New Yorkers to complain about rent. I mean, even Amazon had to move to Queens because it couldn't afford to live in Manhattan.
Oh, tight.
Yeah, tight.
Some man, tight, Colin Jost, man of the people.
Yeah.
You know, because he came up very rough as a child. I remember he was living on the streets.
He's
the
son of a doctor and an engineer. Yeah. Went to private school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, uh-huh. went to Harvard, and was hired out of Harvard at SNL immediately. So he's been around.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he knows
look.
What life is like on these
streets.
He still
has ash on his face from chimney sweeping. But what the fuck? I don't know. That's such a disconnected take on all of this. Like, does he not read any other news about what Amazon in a city does to like the local community or anything?
Yeah.
Is he just purely looking at his like, hey man, Amazon, another cool thing that'll probably be great. And I'm sure it'll bring some kind of development, but it's a very complicated puzzle piece to
manage. I think he should have explained much further, gone way more into depth about, you know, the nuances of this in maybe a 20 to 30 minute piece.
Right.
and we can update. And I can't believe he just decided to tell a joke and get the hell out of there.
I know.
But I do support all comedians.
There you go.
I wonder if, is he still with
Scarlett
Johansson?
ScarJo? I don't
know. ScarJost?
Yeah. We're all just jealous.
Yeah, so he must be having a terrible week.
Yeah, he's just terrible.
You have to go and cry about this into Scarlett Johansson's bosom.
Yeah.
I know.
And she's probably like, that was a sick joke, honestly. Like, I love it. It's a sick joke, honey.
But the reason that some people might be pissed, other than the things that Jose was talking about, is that the city and state offered Amazon at least $1.5 billion in tax breaks. So it's the equivalent of every city resident Venmoing $348 to Bezos. So
holy shit.
It's less like winning the lottery and more like buying a PS4 and then giving it away to a billionaire. So
PS4 Pro.
Right.
You know, and I got a regular one.
Exactly.
You came in 4K or up-resed.
And some people are saying that it actually is going to cost more than that over the long run. But
how funny would it be if they made everyone actually mail him $340?
Come on, pay up. Pay your Bezos.
Part of your taxes this year, you have to get
send
a separate
your tribute
envelope.
To Jeff Bezos.
Bezos,
I mean,
is
soon.
Like collectors come around, just big like.
I say if you want to stick it to Amazon, take $340 and go to the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, the number one comedy venue in New York, and spend $340
there. Wow, there you go.
And then also pay him $348. You're legally obligated to do that.
Or else you're going to go to jail. But get some tacos first.
Super producer Nick Stumpf was saying, I mean, isn't there the argument that it's going to bring in a certain amount of money in tax revenue to the city? And that may be true. I think the argument I've heard is that compared to the replacement level business that would exist in the Long Island City area, they will not pay as many taxes as, you know, otherwise the city would be pulling in because of all these tax breaks that they've given out. But so the benefits, I think, mainly go to the highly educated people who are employed at Amazon and the people who got Amazon to come, but not necessarily to the rest of the city and the people who benefit off of like public assistance.
Yeah, well, I mean, their tax breaks. So, I mean, didn't Cuomo come out and was like, it's not a giveaway?
Right.
Which I'm not sure what he meant, because I think he was arguing over the fact that some people were characterizing it that it was $1 billion when it was more like 900 million.
Yeah.
I just think I'm so bored by the choice of Crystal City and Long Island City. Crystal City, by the way, which just sounds like an old west town.
Yeah.
With it didn't have like a store in it.
Yeah, it sounds like a place you'd drive through on Cruising USA. That old, like.
Oh man, the Hummer, if you press the honk horn button, it would fire the machine gun. Anyway.
But it's like, okay, so they did an entire nationwide search to find another city, and then they decided to set up shop at the two like biggest, most influential cities on the opposite coast. Like,
right.
You didn't do anything. Of course you were going there.
Right, yeah.
Well, they were saying it wasn't necessarily like they were using the HQ title to sort of entice companies to giving tax breaks, right? And like when more or less some people were describing this as like another branch and office rather than like the brainstem of the whole thing.
Yeah, they basically turned the idea of opening a bunch of office buildings in a city into like the Willy Wonka golden ticket giveaway. Like everybody was like, please, sir, just move your headquarters here. And he's like, all right, we're going to split it up between two of you. And actually three, they're opening like some smart offices in Nashville. So when you look at it at that scale, it's like, oh, so you're just opening an office here? Like that's it? Like you're just...
Oh, we give you wild tax breaks?
Yeah.
Tax credits?
Wait, they're
credits.
Opening smart offices in Nashville?
Yeah, something like that. They call it,
but
I forget.
The dumb ones are in
right,
New York?
The dumb ones are in New York. Cool. Yeah. So that's where we're going to store our idiots.
We already got them.
Yep.
Aren't they calling it, what is it called? Oh, Operations Center of Excellence. In Nashville.
Yes, Operation Center of Excellence.
Come on,
that's what
with these flowery
to.
Fake ass
that sounds
names.
Like a Scientology building.
Yeah, right? No, 100%.
The Center of Excellence.
Yeah, you don't become like Center the richest person in the world and just remain normal. Like you're going to start using Scientology like lingo. And
yeah,
shit.
Well, I mean, he was the guy that's been doing a blood bag, like a body. He
that's
carries around
rumor.
A boy
yeah.
and takes his blood. During
Who, Peter
meeting.
Thiel, you mean?
Oh, was that was
it
that
was
not
Peter
Bezos?
Thiel,
oh, Peter Thiel. Okay.
Bezos has, you know, there's rumblings that he might
I heard
be,
he's got a hair boy.
He might have
a hair around. He's been growing his hair back for him.
Damn. And then what, he's just going to put it back on
he's
in one
He's
just going to
put it back on his head.
Scalp
yeah.
him and then just be like, all right, staple this shit on. Let's go. I got an event to get to. And I told him I would have an afro.
You're not even going to get a doctor.
No.
Just going to get an intern.
It's
going to
be
it
like
on.
Tobias in Arrested Development when he got the hair transplant and it was like killing him because of the infection. Graft versus host is what they call it. call it. Mm. And no, it's not a tennis match between Steffi Graf and Donnie Host.
Oh, that's when you have any sort of
that was like what Job called it. They were throwing a benefit for Tobias because his hair transplant was like killing rejecting him. Anyway.
Arrested Development.
We miss you, Graf versus Host.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and the White House Correspondents Association has decided, and Nick, you might have a take on this, they've decided to bail on comedians for next year's dinner and opt instead for the equally entertaining historians.
Yes.
So somebody who's going to be like, yeah, no, this is really bad. This is, you guys are really...
I'm a historian. Let me tell you how this will go down in the annals of history. This is where we are in terms of American imperial collapse.
It's really the only profession that is capable of putting his presidency into perspective. So it makes sense that they would go with it.
Well, you know, Michelle Wolf made it too hot for president sensitive pants. And the shit fits basically... made the White House Correspondents Association cave. Like, I mean, even in the response, the immediate response to Wolf's performance, which most people were like, yeah, that was fucking great. They were slow. You could tell they were sort of, it was eating away at them. And now they went for the guy who like literally wrote the book on Alexander Hamilton that Lin-Manuel Miranda used
right.
for
He's a great
Hamilton.
Biographer.
Yes.
Right?
And so, I mean.
What the fuck is he going to say? I'm actually curious.
I think it's just
going to
be so, they're going to avoid any kind of contract. I don't know. I don't know.
I love that it's like. This is their idea is getting the guy who wrote Hamilton, which is where Pence got booed.
Right.
Like, right.
It's like there's no one you can talk to who's like gonna know about stuff and be on your side.
Right.
Unless it's like Pepe the Frog.
Right.
Then you can be like, yeah, this guy.
But well, even the guy who invented,
yeah,
who
like,
created
yo,
Pepe
fuck
the Frog
here.
Is like, fuck you guys. They're like, know. You got Miranda? Well, we got Chernow, bitches. Yeah. It's like, who?
That guy's so sad about it. The Pepe guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
His creation's been turned into?
Yeah. But the Correspondence Center is such a bad idea forever. I mean, since Colbert humiliated Bush.
Bush, yeah.
You just can't. You can't do it. I don't know why anyone goes. It baffles me. And just to, just the fact that, like, friends of mine have gotten to go to Hollywood or go to DC and then say that in front of those people is mind-boggling, and it makes so much more sense that they're not going to do it anymore than that they're going to keep doing it.
Right. Whoever the next president is, assuming there is one, like, have the balls to bring this back. Because,
it would be like the guy. It would be like on my birthday, inviting the person who hates me the most,
right? To just
who's also the smartest,
you.
Right?
To just come in and get and
dress
just
you
yeah.
Down.
Well, we've seen the two extremes. We've seen now, like, the most hated president probably in the history of, you know, these United
since
States
Obama.
when it comes to at least the entertainment industry.
Right,
and
right.
Then you had before him, like, a president who people didn't want to get up and roast because he was better than them. He would go up and, like, do a tight 20 and
right,
just,
right,
like,
right.
destroy them. So, yeah.
I don't know. I think it was a way for, I think, maybe the just stiffs in D.C. to feel like that they have senses of humor, too. And, like, yeah, we can all take it. And, yeah, clearly it's a town that over the years has just gotten more and more averse to hearing any kind of criticism. But, yeah, I mean, I like hearing them roast people up there.
I do, too.
It's just fun. But
yeah. No, it's fun for me, yeah.
Right.
In my popcorn pants.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I think it's weird. Like, I can't really imagine an event that Trump would go to now at this point. Anyway, because, like, I mean, normally the president would go. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Aside from a Trump rally, right? Because if he goes to anything with other dignitaries, he's like, ugh. He's like the 12-year-old kid who just got, like, the Nintendo Switch at dinner and is like, do I have to be here? Can I go?
Well,
and he just needs to be the focal point. And if they're making jokes, yo, get him the fuck out of there. He does not want to be there.
Well, yeah. And this was the site of what a lot of people believe was the turning point of his professional career, when Obama and Seth Meyers roasted him. Like, that's he was just sitting there, the guy who can least take a joke in the United States, getting roasted on national television.
For my fellow kids, it was like the Arthur clenched fist meme.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Thank you for putting it in terms I could understand.
For fellow kids.
Great. Well, we'll see what type of material Chernow has for Wolf Blitzer.
But do you think it's a shitty precedent to just because they're preemptively wanting to avoid the shit fit that the White House would throw, that they just cave and they're just like, eliminate the comedian thing? I don't know. It just feels like fuck it. Just keep going. I don't understand what the point is. Like, it's not going to fix the relationship with the White House at all.
Are they trying to get Trump to come, and that's why they've?
Oh, he's not going to come.
He's not going to go.
Even,
that's why it doesn't matter.
Right.
So I don't know what you know.
It might as well be raining. That's how much he's not going to go to.
Yeah, indoors. He's like, no, my hair. Fuck it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it just seems like they're caving. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because they should.
No, for sure.
Every opportunity, there needs to be more and more media that, at the very least, can object, or not objectively, but look at the shit things he does and bring it to light and be critical. Like, we can't just stifle critical voices. But who knows? Old Ron the historian might come through with some fucking scathing PowerPoint presentation,
right.
Which would also be equally amazing.
Yeah.
He comes out with some inconvenient truth level.
Right.
Zeitgeisty. Hit it.
Hey, boom.
Yeah, I guess I was talking as though the White House Correspondents Association was not booking it, that it was like the Trump administration. But they're booking it with an eye towards sort of ameliorating, like making the Trump administration happy, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
is the idea.
Because after when she was talking about Sarah Sanders, they had to come out and be like, you know, they kind of kept walking it back and distancing themselves from Michelle Wolf. So, you know,
right.
This is like, well, sometimes it just recorrects because after the Stephen Colbert one, then they had Rich Little come out the next year, which is If you don't know, he's just he's a dinosaur of comedy who does impressions. I think he died since, but his impressions were like, if you're not over 130, you probably don't know.
It's like a lot of Nixon and Johnny
Bill,
Carson.
Bill Mixels, the six shooter.
No, Rich Little still is alive.
Oh, great.
The man of 1,000 voices.
Well, I think they should get him back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it might be time. Let's talk about Gary Hart, you guys. Let's talk about Gary Hart. So,
let's talk about Gary Gaetti.
Yeah, I don't know why I went into Colin. What's his name?
Jost.
No, Colin. The other Colin. Quinn. Voice there. So I wanted to talk about Gary Hart because he's kind of making a comeback into the zeitgeist because Jason Reitman has a new movie coming out that's about this scandal that sort of derailed his bid to get elected president. It was the very early days. But they also make the claim in the book the movie's based on that this was the turning point at which, like, they started turning politics into this TMZ sort of gossip type
side
circus.
Circus.
Yeah, exactly. And prior to this, it was like you could have your affairs with the media there right next to you. And just, you know, JFK would tell a journalist, I need to have 3 women a day or else I get a migraine. And the journalist is like, Jackie. That's just Jack being Jack. So Gary Hart basically got caught in having an affair. He was like at the townhouse of some young woman and was like basically trapped into an alleyway as he was walking out by a bunch of reporters. And it was just this extreme awkward moment. But this article that just came out in The Atlantic makes the claim that this was actually organized by this guy, Lee Atwater. He was a Republican operative. He was the guy behind the Willie Horton ad that got George H.W. Bush elected president.
Yeah, was widely considered the most racist political ad up until
3 weeks
ago.
About 3 weeks. Yeah, exactly. But he was just this, you know, he was sort of the Karl Rove before Karl Rove. But he died of brain cancer about a year and a half after all of this happened. And in his last days, he basically called up the Democrat version of him, minus the racism and malice, just Democratic operative, and told him he'd engineered the entire Gary Hart thing down to making sure that, like, the way that his relationship to this woman first came on people's radar was that he was on a boat trip with her on a boat called Monkey Business. And Lee Atwater, like, knew that would be a good name for a scandal boat. And So he, like, got the boat they were originally supposed to be on, like, taken away for, like, maintenance so they would be on this Monkey Business. Wow. So that, like, Monkey Business would be, like,
So he purposefully manipulated the availability of boats ensure that he would be on a boat called Monkey Business when they were monkeying around.
Exactly. And just all sorts of other shit. So he told this operative and then fucked off and died. And the operative never told Gary Hart. Like, that's what this article's about. He's like, and it really hasn't come out and, like, become part of the story because he never told Gary Hart until, like, he had a conversation with Gary Hart and he was like, you know, one thing that's always, like, stuck in my mind is it really felt like a setup. Like, when the picture that was taken of me and the young woman, Rice, I believe her last name was, she was standing across the room from me, and then she, like, made eye contact with this woman she was with, and the woman, like, nodded at her. She walked over, sat on my lap, and then the woman came up, took a picture, and walked away. And that picture was on the cover of, you guessed it, the National Enquirer.
Yeah,
they're behind everything, it turns out. But the reason this is significant is because he was seen as the movie is called The Front Runner, and he was seen as the guy who was going to win the next presidency. George H.W. Bush was seen as both a just weaker version of Reagan and also as just a bitch, for lack of a better word. Like, people, that's how they rated him. That's why they had to, like,
rated bitch.
Yeah, rated. That's why they, like, did all this military activity, is because he was seen as, like, quote, wimpy by the American public. And so he, like went to war in Panama for a day just to like flex his military muscles. And eventually people think that had something to do with the original Operation Desert Storm. And this guy, Gary Hart, was a security expert, and to the point that after all the scandal derailed his career and he was just like kind of in the background of politics, he sent this, you might have heard about this report that was given to George W. Bush when he was coming into the White House. It was basically a terror attack is imminent. You guys need to like prepare for a terror attack on U.S. soil. Like,
for W.?
For W. Yeah. Wow. Right before 9/11 happened, he was like, this needs to be your top priority. And W just completely ignored it. But he was just known, like, that's why people thought he was a shoo-in, was he was like really respected as an expert on security during the Cold War, which was like
right.
the number
despite
one concern.
Despite going
for
up
people.
Against H.W., who was the CIA who, head.
Exactly. They right. were like, well, he clearly wins in security against the guy who used to run the CIA and was Reagan's vice president. But this scandal basically derailed him and changed the course of history, because if, you know, Hart beats Bush and has one or two administrations, there's no guarantee that you have a Clinton. There's no guarantee you have a, you almost definitely don't have a W, because W, like, his whole political career took off when, during his father's presidential campaign, like basically helping him win the 88 campaign against Dukakis.
Right.
And this is also similar. This reminded me of the story that came out during the, I mean, I guess it was well known, but it came to my attention during Slow Burn about the Watergate scandal and Nixon's impeachment, because Nixon, during the election that ended up being a landslide that he cheated in, one of the other ways that he cheated was there was this guy, Edmund Muskie, who he was really scared of running against. Mm-hmm. And he just like harassed him, and like he had his operatives like call them at all hours of night. They would like call people acting as though they were from the Muskie campaign and like say things in like a really like insulting black scent, but be like, we're coming for you. Like, we're the Muskie campaign in New Hampshire. And that's where Muskie was from. And he ended up having this like press conference where he like had tears in his eyes, and people were like, well, we can't elect this guy.
We can't have a man who has emotions.
Yeah. So Nixon basically also changed the course of Democratic politics with like this cheap behind the scenes conspiracy that actually happened. And the same thing probably happened with Gary Hart. So these Republicans, they don't put anything past them. Man.
There would be no Clarence Thomas.
They're good
that.
At their job. Yeah, there would be no
or
Clarence
David
Thomas.
Souter, I think was the other H.W. Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah.
Well, that was depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what are your thoughts on
history
that?
History is being written by
just
conservative
a big fan.
Conspiracy.
And
big Clarence Thomas fan.
I'm just sad that we lost him so young, but I'm glad that we have
Lee Atwater?
Roger Stone
yeah.
to live on, and Paul Manafort. I just watched that Stone documentary, but they had a company like with Atwater and Manafort and Roger Stone.
Oh, right.
And just those bullshit artists.
Yeah, they invented lobbying as we know it.
Yeah. Incredible. And I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, it's insane that these people get to continue doing this.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We celebrate it. I was just thinking about Dukakis, how he lost because like he was doing good, and then he did a photo op in a tank wearing a big helmet,
right?
And then he looked like a little boy, and then he was toast.
Yep.
And that's how easy things.
Remember
are.
How easy things were?
He looks like a boy
with that helmet.
Here.
It's always the Democrats who get derailed by shit like that, though.
Yeah.
That's why I think Dukakis wearing a helmet that makes him look like a little boy, Kerry going windsurfing, Howard Dean before
going,
him going, yeah, but it sounded crazier because he was in a loud room and they had him exclusively mic'd up.
No matter how it sounded, it's just, yeah, whatever. He said, you know, he was getting pumped up on the path to the White House.
I mean, we're watching these things about the White House.
Yo, I fuck with it. I mean, that as a drop, Nick.
We wouldn't want a president with the sensibilities of a WWE wrestler.
Oh, God. See, that's what I'm saying. And look where we are now. Well, history is a tricky thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think, you know, they say history bends towards justice, but I think American history bends towards fucking, you know, the Republicans and their shitty point of view.
What do you think about Avenatti? Do you believe him that it's a Jacob Wool takedown?
I don't know. I could believe that it was. I could also, we said this last week when we were talking about this story, is like, I could also see him being a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, if he was a total piece of shit, like, why haven't they figured that out by now?
That's the thing, right? You think the second he started making it hot, it would have been like, oh yeah, well, we know about you, Michael Avenatti, which is why, has there been any update?
It's so surprising that there has been no update. That's the thing. I'm like obsessed with it because he immediately came out and it was like that Wool tried to muller me.
Right.
And no one's talking about
it. Wait, who do we think would have like exposed him if he was a shithead? Because the impression I get from all of the people who want to protect the president is that they're not that competent.
Yeah, like, but there are plenty of oppo research firms that could dig that up. There are plenty of people who are more competent.
Yeah.
They have a whole mechanism for trying to find shit.
That's true.
It's not.
Yeah, also, like, the Stormy Daniels thing is, like, the thing that's, like, taking him down.
Right.
These payments. And so I think all hands are on deck in terms of taking down Avenatti.
Yeah, he's definitely, if he is involved in violence towards women, he's definitely leading with his chin, like just walking out into public.
Yeah.
But Atwater brought in the era of not believing anything anyone does ever.
Right.
So murky.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching this. There's a really good 3-video series the New York Times made about Russian propaganda's history in the United States and how they started the government inventing the AIDS virus and all sorts of rumors and conspiracy theories just to sort of destabilize. And they were saying that's the entire purpose of Russian propaganda and like KGB, like 25% of their budget and time was spent just making it so that we couldn't really, that we wouldn't believe things, that it was just like, you know, it introduced that seed of doubt.
And that's what the Trump just today was saying about the CIA concluding that the Khashoggi was ordered by MBS.
We'll never
know. Well, we'll never know for sure.
We'll never know.
Never know for sure.
Yep. And then he's like, I don't listen to the tape. It's a tape of suffering.
It's a bad tape.
Tape of suffering.
Yeah,
of course you don't. Shit. That's why you have to listen to it so you can get with reality. But hey, bury your head in the sand, my man.
Right. Nick, it's been a pleasure having you.
Me.
Down.
Yes.
Yes, you.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Nick Turner. It's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on, the Twitter.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that place.
At Nick Turner's. Instagram, the same. Mm-hmm. You can check out my album on Comedy Central Records, Yelling, if you want to get nuts.
And you were on an episode of Couples Therapy recently, I understand.
Ah, yes. Yeah. With my work husband, Nick Vatterott.
Yeah. Yeah,
too many Nicks. A night of too many Nicks.
And it's hilarious, and people should check that out. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I just looked at my Twitter likes.
Okay.
You know, I always forget that that's a column where you can just look at all the things that you liked. And I've liked 3 tweets in the past month.
Oh, wow.
I am stingy with the likes.
There you go.
But I have a don't do it. Which I don't know if you're familiar with this meme.
A don't do it?
A don't do it. Yeah, it's like me thinking something and then thinking, don't do it. Mm-hmm. I thought like, don't do it, and then doing something.
Doing it.
Right. Anyway, I didn't know that until just now. But this is what I liked. This is Dan Licata, who is incredible. Check him out, at Dan Licata Sucks. Me, pulls out my wiener to piss. My brain. Don't do it, 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 don't do it. And nothing's funnier than reading a tweet, right?
Yeah.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Honor the tweet.
Then me, attempts to suck my own dick while peeing, getting piss all over my face. And I am coughing, choking on my urine. Dan Licata.
Dan Licata.
Good luck to you, sir. Get that bone removed.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on
Healing
Twitter.
On the couch.
And yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at
Worst Miles of Gray. This is
Yes.
Uh-oh, that was Steve Carell saying my name on SNL, or my Twitter handle. And that's also my tweet that I like. A few people tweeted me, but one of them disappeared. But that one I just played is from Eric, at Eric in absentia. I guess somehow there was a sequence of words where Steve Carell said Miles of Gray. So that's, you can find me at Miles of Gray, Twitter, Instagram. And that was my tweet. Boom.
That's crazy, man. Huge shout out for you.
Huge shout out for me. Really big moment for me. You know, but
proud of you.
Everyone in my family didn't give a shit. So, and they were like, what is a Twitter? And what is a handle? So, whatever. I'm going to keep just do my thing over here.
And a tweet I've been enjoying is from Pixelated Boat. He said, oh yeah, I forgot about that episode, and linked off to an image. There was this story going around about how Tim Allen likes pissing people off, and he, Pixelated Boat, as he does, altered that headline to say, Tim Allen, I like pissing people off, and nothing pissed people off more than the episode of Home Improvement where Tim Toolman Taylor, following the example of the early Christian philosopher Origen, castrated himself with a hedge trimmer to purge himself of the sin of lust. You know.
I like pissing people off is like the worst thing you can think.
Yeah. I like
it's the worst person
off.
You can be.
Yeah.
That's your motivation.
Too rude.
That gives me control in a world where I otherwise have no control.
I'm done trying to make people laugh.
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist. On Instagram, we have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
Let's do a new song from Little Dragon, whose music I've played here before. They have a new EP out, but this is a track off their new EP, Lover Chanting, and it's called Lover Chanting, wouldn't you know it? So enjoy this little track from Little Dragon, Lover Chanting, for 30 seconds.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Baby. Watching you, watching every move, baby. You've been obnoxious too. Yeah, what you got to prove?
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.